You are listening to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life.
You almost forgot the intro there.
So if you didn't know, it's not like a pre-recorded intro. I just say that every time. And as I was starting, I was like, yeah, you're through. What is it again? So anyways, thanks for tuning in. This is the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. This is an episode of Off the Record. So anything we say on this cannot be used against us because it's off the record. We said it right at the beginning. So
can't be used against us, and we didn't prep it, so it's not our fault.
So my name's Andrew, and with me is Corland.
Hello, hello.
And if you are new to the podcast, we do regular episodes with Cameron, our friend and elder at the church. And then since Corland and I both work here at the church, we thought, hey, it'd be good maybe on weeks that we don't have a regular episode or just have things that we're like, we got to talk about this. We can just
talk about it
and record it and put it out for the listeners. So
yeah, it's kind of funny. You know how we have like our intro and we have like our everybody says hello in a similar way, or like I usually say the hello, hello. For those of you who don't know, if you haven't talked to me that much, that is also a greeting that I will give people in real life. Like, it's not just like a radio personality I put on. I do actually say that in
ahoy,
real life.
Boy.
It's like, hello, hello. And so I said that to someone randomly the other day, and they're like, man, I feel like I'm listening to the podcast now. Yeah. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it is something I do in real life. It's not just here.
Yeah.
I don't just put on a show for you guys here.
Okay. So today's topic, usually if you've listened to Off the Record before, we'll have like three or four different things that are rattling around in our brains, and we'll talk about them, and it'll be maybe somewhat scattered. But today we have one topic that I texted Corlin this morning saying we need to record a podcast, and then I updated him when I got to the office. So today's podcast is titled The Art of Disagreeing, and let me just preface this of where we want to go with this. I've noticed more and more and more recently over the years, but it just seems like it's kind of like escalated. Mm-hmm. I would say Christians, but even people in our culture, do not know how to disagree with one another.
Yep.
And it not be the end of the world.
Yep.
I think we see that a little bit in like cancel culture with, you just think about like, I hate using secular world, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like comedian so-and-so said this 10 years ago, let's ruin his life. Let's cancel it. And because I disagree with what he says, or like the example that came to mind, and by using this example, I am in no way advocating that this is a good thing, mm-hmm. but Dave Chappelle recently did a special. I haven't actually watched it. I've watched a clip or two of it because it is pretty vulgar, and I'm not recommending that you watch it.
Yeah.
But he did some Netflix special, and like our culture like blew up at how dare you say things like that. I disagree with your point. We should all boycott this guy, and let's ruin his career and ruin his life.
Yeah.
And that was just one example that came to mind, but we see that all the time. Like,
yeah,
you have a different opinion than I do. Well, you are now my enemy. And like, we see that in culture, right? You see that any election, you saw that with Trump and Biden in the last election. It's not like I think differently politically than you. It's like you are the enemy of our country now.
Yeah.
And then it happens in churches too.
Believe it or not, we're not perfect in these places.
No, so I don't think the church can go like, look at our culture. They don't know how to disagree.
Yeah.
I'm seeing this more and more and more in churches. Maybe it's been like exasperated by COVID and by trucker convoys and by mandates or whatever. I don't know. But I'm seeing this more and more in churches, but not even with those social things, even with theological disagreements. It's like in our churches, it's no longer like, oh, okay, I see what you mean. I don't think I disagree with you. See you at church on Sunday. Now it's like, I can't believe that you're an idiot and you think like that and you don't think the way I think. And it's like, I've seen it. I'm going to a different church now because I can't believe that you would think that way.
Yeah.
And so I guess two questions I want to unpack. Why do you think that is? Why have we reached a place in our society and in our churches where it is impossible to disagree? So I don't know. We'll just like philosophize for a while.
Yeah.
Why? And then what does it look like to learn the art of disagreeing? Like, I actually think it's an art. I think it's a skill that you actually need to learn.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? How can you fundamentally disagree with someone about maybe like a really strong conviction?
Like where to go for lunch?
Yeah. What? Boston pizza? No, but like, and so we'll probably use examples that are hot button topics today. How can I disagree with someone about vaccinations and still go, love you, can be friends with you, can hang out with you?
Yeah.
Is it possible? Or are we just at a place in society where it's like, it's just not possible. I can only hang around people who think the same way I do. So let's tackle the first question first. Why? How did we get like, and maybe we won't be able to answer it, but why do you think that is? Why in our culture and in our church culture is it like, I just can't disagree with people?
I actually, to be honest, I think we look at our culture and we always say like, how did we get here?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We're a part of humanity. We have always been like this since the fall.
That's
right?
True.
I like, if you read any history, there's always been disagreements and there's always been camps of people that are like, absolutely not. I disagree with you. Let's go to war. I'm going to kill you because of this disagreement. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always been that factor. I think something that our culture has that is different than obviously in history is social media.
Yeah.
I think social media and technology is not to be one of those people, but, and I use social media and technology, but it's one of those things that it is really, really easy to see someone else's opinion or stance on something, at least in a 2D image. And I use that just because sometimes it's only written out. You have no idea where the emphasis is on words. You have no idea what tone they're using. But then because it's over technology, over the World Wide Web, it's also really easy to become what I'd call a keyboard warrior and just type out your opinion right back at them and feel like you have made your point. Whereas like there's a social disconnect there. So it's called social media, but there's a disconnect. So it's become really, really easy to stand really, really firm on your points and never actually interact with someone.
Yeah. That's
The human brain actually is more engaged when you're disagreeing than when you're agreeing with someone. Like if you and I face to face, we're having an agreement. The parts of our brain that control like all the chemicals and stuff that happen in our brain, when we agree, they're actually relatively non-busy because we don't have to think all that much about it. As soon as we disagree, all of those chemicals go wild. So if you think of how that works, if you're face to face, you take social media and separate that, and then you just have two angry people that are angry at a screen, really.
Sure.
Because of something a screen says.
Yeah.
When they can't actually even have like a proper discourse with all of the things that we as humans pick up on, be it facial expressions, hormones, everything, right? Like, I don't know. I think social media has played into it in our culture.
Yeah.
Because even if you look at, maybe this will be too controversial, but even look at situations like Russia and Ukraine, how everybody on social media is now posting if they stand with either side, right?
Yeah.
And then having disagreements about it. Well, posting about it doesn't maybe even do anything, right? Other than just let the world know where you stand. And so of course people are going to disagree with you. Yeah. So it breeds just this, I don't know. It breeds an unhealthy environment to disagree in.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes disagreements, sometimes, not all the time, are just a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Like you literally don't understand where someone is coming from.
Yep.
Hear their point and you might get it. You might not still agree with them.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to fight. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I think social media and the other thing, while you were talking, how like algorithms work is that when you look at things, it remembers and then it just shows you more of the same thing.
Yep.
So for instance, if I continually, and I'm just going to use an example and people, whatever, we're talking about disagreeing. So like, let's say on social media, all I look at is articles about how masks work. Then all Facebook will continue to post, show me articles that affirm that view. So all you're really doing is I'm not ever hearing from any other point of view. Yeah. All I'm doing is feeding myself with things that I already believe.
Yeah, you're never challenged.
Which I think is really dangerous, because then all you think, well, look at all of these articles that support my view. Yeah, because Facebook's just giving you what you want to see.
Yeah.
So I think that's one danger of, like, we're just fed stuff that then entrenches us even deeper in whatever position we have, without going, I'm actually going to specifically go and look up articles that from the other side, because maybe I'm not seeing everything clearly here. So I agree. I think social media has, like, compounded. There's a lot of good that can come from social media.
Yeah.
But, like, it's compounded this idea of, like, okay, now I can, like, spew out my opinion and get angry at someone.
Yeah.
And there's really no accountability, because I'm not doing it to their face. It's just like, so even I posted some article recently about how John Hopkins did some studies about, maybe lockdowns aren't effective.
Yeah.
And I get it that that's one article, but I just kind of thought, oh, that's interesting. So posted it. And, like, the first and only comment was just tearing me apart. That this is biased and blah, 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 blah. And I just didn't engage it, because I'm like, I don't want to fight with you in a comment section. That's just so stupid, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it was so easy to just, I don't agree with that. I'm going to type out my opinion.
Yeah.
And that person, he's from our old church. So there's no need to, like, let's sit down face to face and talk about it. It's like, no, I'm just going to spew out what I think. And there's no accountability.
I feel, so on the topic of social media, I feel like it has created an interesting scenario where, like, we sit in the camps that best suit us religiously. Like you said, it shows us everything that we want to see.
Yeah, totally. Right? Yep.
And for someone who might not agree with that, the way Facebook's algorithm works is, like, to put it really plainly, if the product is free, you are the product. Right? So Facebook is essentially selling the companies that they advertise, that they let videos show. They're selling your screen time to those companies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So of course they're going to show you things that you like, because it keeps you there longer, which makes them more money. Right?
Yeah.
So it's fact. It's not just something that, oh, I was listening to me and it's kind of freaky. No, it's really freaky, because they do it on purpose to keep you there.
Yeah.
But we sit in these camps then, because that's all the information that we see. So we sit there, but social media, like you said, has also presented this idea of, like, you can say whatever you want
and
almost not have consequence for it if it's against a different viewpoint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's really, really interesting. But then when we see that happen face to face, it looks different.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think too, like, so I think one of the things too is we have very strong convictions about everything,
which is good,
which is good. But what we've done, I think, is then, I think one of the issues is that it's a pride issue. Hmm. Regardless if it's a theological thing or just a social topic, it's a pride thing going, I am right. And there's no way I would ever be wrong.
Yeah.
And then, so let's say, like, so let's say you and I had a disagreement, you know, I think that, speed limits should be slower for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then you come and you think, oh, that's ridiculous.
We shouldn't have speed limits.
We shouldn't have speed limits. So then it's like, in my pride, all of a sudden my strong conviction is like, Corlin's careless. He doesn't care about my life. How dare he just want to speed around? Blah, blah, blah. Which could, none of that could be true. You could just go, like, I just don't agree. But I think it's a pride issue for a lot of these things, because we go, that person is wrong and I am right. And there's no way that I would ever be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, kind of scary, because, I mean, the Bible has a lot to say about pride.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I even think about, you know, in my own marriage, a lot of times when me and my wife disagree about things and then I check my own heart and my own attitude, it's because of pride.
Yeah.
Because I go, I know more than you and I am right and you are wrong. And there's no, like, well, you know what? I've just never thought about it. Maybe I am wrong. And then it's like, you just, because of pride, you just kind of dig your heels in even more and go, no, there's no way I'm wrong. There's no way I am right, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of these things are kind of what I would call secondary issues. They're not
It's not that they're not important. No. It's that they're not as important
as other things. It's not salvation, life or death.
Yeah.
Where are you going to spend eternity?
Yeah.
But we just have strong convictions about stuff. So,
which again, I think is good. Because we, either side that has a strong conviction will have those four reasons, right?
Yeah.
So many things I try my best, but with pride, it's really hard. I try my best to approach it as like, okay, I see it from this point of view. Mm-hmm. Someone sees it from the stark opposite compared to me. Somewhere in there, there has to be elements of truth on both sides.
Yeah.
Right? Like how, and I don't think that it's compromising on your beliefs, because I think that's something that we feel afraid of, is that if we change how we think about something that we'd be compromising. But I don't actually think that it is.
Yeah.
I think if we look at a disagreement, if we look at something that we don't think the same as someone on, that coming more to a middle ground would be giving up what you believe. But what if it's simply just changing your paradigm on the situation?
Yeah.
Right? A phenomenal example in the passage that you're studying for the sermon this week, it talks, the Pharisees, loose paraphrase here, say, go to Galilee and make sure that there's no more prophets. Well, when I read that, a first read through for me, I thought it sounded like they were like, okay, guards, you go stand on like the road from Galilee to here and make sure no other prophets arrive from there, because we're dealing with this already.
Yeah.
And you read it as like, well, from history, no prophets have come from Galilee.
Right.
And so we disagreed, but at the same time, it was something that we were able to say, oh, I didn't look at it. Oh, well, now we have to check, make sure that our paradigm is correct. Both of us had to do that, right? Yeah. And so finding that middle ground is something that I think we could have stood hard and fast on, no, this is because I read it that way, or I read a commentary. But what if there is a middle ground on something like that, right?
Yeah, and I think it takes humility to admit that your position might not be 100% accurate.
Yeah.
And humility is really hard, because then it's admitting like, oh, yeah, you know what? I actually might be wrong about this.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen it over and over and over again. It's like, rather than admitting like, yeah, you know what? I think maybe I just kind of saw unclearly. It's like, that's embarrassing. It's like, I almost have to dig my heels in even more and be like, no.
Yeah.
I know that I'm right. Right.
Yeah.
So let's pivot then to the church, because we do this with theological things all the time. And I would say, I like what you said at the beginning, is that like this has gone on since the fall.
Yep.
But I guess what I've seen, like I've been in church ministry for 15 years working in a church, and I would say it's like it's escalated to today. I go, man, I can't remember in the last 15 years it ever being so, people so on edge and protective about theological things that, in my opinion, are secondary, even third level things, which all of a sudden it's like, there's just, I don't want to say division, because I don't think our church isn't splitting, or we're not seeing anything like that.
There's no schisms happening.
But there's like no room to just go, yeah, you know what? You might be right. There's no room to even say like, okay, I hear your point of view. I guess I would just disagree and go, okay.
Yeah.
It's like we've become personally offended if someone thinks differently. So I'll give you an example. We did a Revelation class a year ago now, where I basically just on Wednesday nights taught through the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And here is my attempt to understand the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And I remember a few times on the Wednesday nights being like, you know, this is what I think about the beast and the mark of the beast. I could be wrong, but it was interesting. We had a few families leave the church because of, and we think Andrew's view of Revelation is not correct. But for me, I go, your view of how the end happens is not a salvation issue.
Yeah.
It is not, it does not affect your salvation in Jesus. But it was like so entrenched that, wait, you don't think that X, Y, and Z? I don't even know if I can come to this church anymore. And it's like, oh. Now, to be fair, there were others who went, I think I disagree with you, Andrew. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But it just kind of hit me like, wow, to say like, I can't attend here anymore because you think that it's not a literal 1,000 years, that it's a spiritual reign instead of that. I'm out. I'm like, man, that's sad. I like that we can't even get to a place where it's like, okay, like, I think he's wrong, but that's okay. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've seen that over and over a bunch of times lately about kind of secondary theological issues where it's like, this is too important.
Do you think, and I don't know, I'm brainstorming, spitballing things here because I'm just curious. Do you think that some of it is that over the years, because we've been fed what we want to know and because we as humans are naturally drawn to like-minded people, do you think we've become lazy to do the work to actually consider what other people are saying? So as soon as it's something different, we're prideful. We it's an emotional response. But then instead of taking that step back to say, okay, well, why am I reacting this way? Does what they say change anything about salvation, anything like that? Instead of actually like really stepping back and considering it, we just say, well, we disagree on that point, so we can't be in the same room type deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Cause I guess in the last 2 years, in the last 4 years, really, I've been approached with so many things that are different from what I had viewed originally. Right. Where, and I've talked to you about some of these with some of the courses I've been taking, my initial view, because I'd never heard it before, was like, no, that's wrong. Yeah. I don't know if I can ever take this course again. That was my initial response. I remember thinking that, and I can't remember for sure, but I think I may have even told Aaron that at one point, to be like, I can't ever take a course from this teacher again because he said this.
Hmm.
But then had I just left it at that, I wouldn't have taken another course. But I chose to take those steps to say, okay, well, what is it that I disagree with? Why do I actually disagree with it?
Yeah.
What does the Bible say? Like reading it, considering what they said, but then considering what others have said, like where does this issue land? To disagree well takes work.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Because I think that, for example, when it comes to your view of eschatology, which is your end time views.
Yeah.
If you disagree, like we've said, that's a secondary issue. But to actually come to a point where you say, hey, I disagree, and so be it, that's either really lazy or you were really lazy and you chose to just disagree and run away from it, right? Mm-hmm. I think in a world where God has created us to be in relationship, to constantly run away from people because they say a couple of things that we don't agree with is lazy as heck.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because there's no, maybe at the end of the day, after a disagreement, you start noticing other things that you really disagree with. And so then you choose not to associate with that person. Mm-hmm. And fair enough. I think there's scenarios where that can happen and it's maybe a good thing for the time being. But even still, like, I don't know, maybe lazy is the wrong word. I don't know. It just doesn't seem, this might ruffle feathers, it doesn't seem godly to just say, well, I disagree, see you later.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I could see, yeah, for some scenarios, like some of my experiences too, is that maybe it's not a lazy. So I think, yes, for some people, it's just kind of like, I don't want to put the work in to hear your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for some too, it just becomes so entrenched that it like for them, it feels wrong to even consider a different point of view.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. And I don't know. Anyways, I might get in trouble for using like specific things that have happened recently, but that's okay. Like even so, there's, you talk about the women in ministry debate.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. So you have some churches that interpret passages differently and go, you know what? I think it's okay if a woman's a pastor, if it blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. Then you have other people that interpret passages and go, I think the role of elders for men, the teaching role is for men.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, fine. So I've actually been challenged recently that I'm like, I want to read people that I disagree with about this topic because I don't want it to just be, this is how I was raised. It's entrenched in my mind. wrong to think any other way than I do. So I've actually read some books and articles, and there's some that I've gone, I don't know about that. And it's caused me to dig in a bit. And I've said, yeah, I think that might be just a really weak argument. And then there's other books that I go, you know, that's actually like, that is a decent, fair argument. Hmm. And I can't really just dismiss it as, So I'm not saying that my entire view of where I land has changed, but it's caused me to go, I can see true brothers and sisters in Christ who think differently than I do. I get where they're coming from. I understand how you can land there.
Yeah.
And I might not fully agree, but it changed from like, those idiots don't know the Bible as well as I do. It changed to like, okay.
So maybe it's I think what you're kind of getting at is an education around a topic versus indoctrination.
Yeah, I think so.
Because when we're indoctrinated about things, yes, we have very strong views because it's what we've always done. It's what we've always said. Education can lead to wisdom around a topic. Mm-hmm. So you can still very, very firmly stand on a belief when you're well educated about all sides.
Yeah.
Right? It's quite interesting when you think of what education actually is, because it does, a good education should present you with opposing views, and then wisdom over time of being exposed to these things and obviously spending time in scripture and through the work of the Holy Spirit, God gives us wisdom to navigate those things, right? And to make wise choices about where we stand on these things. Mm-hmm. The interesting part with that, though, is that not everybody is going to line up with every view then.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Right? And yet I would still argue that those people, if they're taking these things into consideration well, are still acting wisely.
Yeah.
Right? Because like you said, there's secondary issues. So now if someone came and said something like, Jesus is not God.
Yeah.
That's a pretty primary issue that you can stand very, very firmly on. And there can be disagreements that end in saying, I'm going to go this way because
absolutely.
You don't agree.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Disagreeing to the point where you would choose to walk away from something is not always wrong.
Yeah.
That being said, choosing to walk away is not choosing to hate.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
So yeah, let's use some, because if people are going to be mad, they're going to be mad. So let's use some common examples. So like the whole vaccine debate.
Yeah.
Like I'm vaccinated.
And I am not.
Yeah. And so that has not changed our relationship in the slightest.
We've had some good discussions around it.
Totally. And there's been times when it's like, me and Corlin should go for a beer. I mean, a pop. But then it's like, Corlin can't do that. Yep. And there's never been you've never said like, I can't believe that you would invite me out because I don't know. And there's never been like, I can't believe Corlin won't just get vaccinated so we can go to Mighty Peace. It's been like, just come over to my house then.
Yeah.
Right. So for that, it just, you have convictions one way, I have convictions the other way. Or maybe not, but we just have different thoughts and ideas. Yeah. We've been able to talk about them.
Yeah.
You've challenged me on some stuff. I've challenged you. And at the end of the day, it's like, okay.
Yeah. And so that would be a secondary issue.
Yes.
And so I think in those discussions, part of what we're called to do is to show love to each other, right?
Yeah.
And love incites respect. And that's an active, there's a reason they say love is a verb. It's because it requires action.
Yeah.
Right? Love will always produce stuff that requires action. So when we have these discussions, whether it's about vaccines, whether it's about consumption of alcohol, whether it's about like anything like that, to be able to look at your brother or sister in Christ and say, I don't agree with you, but factually, I know that this may not be a big deal, or even if you think factually it is a big deal, to be able to listen and present and allow them that choice and still love them and respect them.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that is what leads to unity in the church, because we sometimes think like unity means we all must think
the same. It's uniformity.
Yeah. It's uniformity. We must, and there can't be disagreements, or what if there's disunity? It's like, that's not that, being able to go like, oh man, I see your point of view. I just disagree with you.
Yeah.
That actually leads to unity, because we go, you think differently than I do, and that's okay.
And I'm going to still choose to love you.
Yeah. Then. And what is it that unifies us? Jesus and the gospel and his life, death, and resurrection. That's what unifies us.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit unifies us because you have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. I was really challenged when I went down to Whistler for some church planning conference stuff. One guy said, because he was talking about, like, we just live in this world that secondary issues were like, heretic, heretic, heretic. And he said, the question that he asks is, am I going to be in heaven with this person? And if so, then I can work with them and love them.
Yep.
So I'm like,
yeah.
And that really challenged
me. It's well said.
Because there's like stuff that I'm very passionate about that I believe.
Yeah.
And if someone believes, you know, the opposite, but they still love Jesus, still have believe in salvation is through him alone in his life and death. He's the Son of God. Yeah. Then I would go, they're going to be in heaven with me.
Yeah.
And so are we going to really argue that you baptize by pouring rather than dunking? I think I'm right, but am I really going to go like, can't have an event with you? And you just go, nope.
Yeah. I think too, we I can't remember where the verse is, but it's in the New Testament talking about like, don't associate with people who.
Yep.
And I think we've taken that as don't associate with people who view something differently than you.
Yeah.
Right. And so associate would mean like do anything with them. And I think that, I mean, Jesus didn't agree with prostitution, yet he ate meals with prostitutes.
Mm.
He didn't think that was a good thing, and yet he did that. So, yes. Like, what is association? So, I think that disagreements can and sometimes do lead to different courses of action. So, for example, we here fully submerse when we baptize.
Mm.
We don't encourage people to just sprinkle for baptism.
Yep.
So we'd maybe choose to do something very different than like an Orthodox church would.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like you said, it's not a hill to die on. So has it led to a different course of action in how we do those things? Yes.
Yep.
But are there some things that we might see as a common ground that we can do similarly? Sure. Do we maybe believe foundationally different things? Yeah. And those things are big things that we can discuss.
Yeah.
But we have to allow people their free choice as well. It's like, it's something that God has intrinsically created us with since the beginning of time. So for us to say, no, I believe this, so you have to as well, or you are evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe, but why not just present truth then and trust God to do the rest, right? We are not the ones who change hearts.
Yeah, and I think that one of the hard parts for people to wrap their minds around, and this someone actually said this to me, how can... This was last week. How can there be so many different views from one book?
Mm. It's a good question.
Yeah. And really so good. We kind of unpacked a little bit, like, I mean, it's the same book. He said, like, the church over there is reading the same book we are.
Yeah.
And so I said, that's one of the, I think it's one of the beauties of the Bible is that for so many of these secondary things, I can interpret a passage, and you just gave an example. I read John 7 at breakfast the other day, and you were like, oh, I didn't even think of that. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that. Like,
yeah.
And so I think there's so many ways that you can look at one passage and go, I think it says this. I'm talking about secondary issues, not Jesus isn't God, not that. But I can look at a passage where it talks about whatever and go, I think a proper way to interpret it contextually is this. And you may look at the same passage and go, oh, you know what? I disagree. I think because of this Greek word and blah, 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 it might mean that. The problem is we all come to the Bible that it is black and white and there is only one interpretation. And then if you interpret it differently than me, you've just read it wrong.
And I think we've made it a scandalous thing if someone interprets it differently. So the way the Bible was written was, man, we're way different. But like the way the Bible was written was it was community literature is what I'll call it. So what I mean by that is that we are used to a day and age where like I have a Bible on my phone. I have like two Bibles in my office. We have multiple Bibles at our house, all different translations, all different things, but we have many just for us, right? Mm. The Bible wasn't written to be originally read So like when it was still in scrolls and stuff, it wasn't read in your closet alone.
Yeah.
Because nobody owned scrolls.
Yeah.
It was only in the temple or where communities had some scrolls that they could read together.
Yeah.
So when they read them, they would come together to read them and interpret them together.
Communally. Yep.
Communally, right? So I actually think it's a really, really healthy thing for Christians to be interacting within our culture, different denominations, to look and consistently be looking at scripture for truth. That's what we should be doing with scripture, is not just saying, well, I read it this way, so that's right. But to say, well, if I believe, like you said, if I believe that the Holy Spirit's in me and I believe that the Holy Spirit's in you and in so-and-so and so-and-so, well, if each one of us comes to a different conclusion, what if there's something that I'm missing?
Yeah.
Not to say that I'm necessarily completely wrong,
yeah,
and not to say that the other party is completely right, but it's that careful consideration, right?
Yeah.
It's that stepping off of our high horse. I actually think it's quite like the imagery in the Garden of Eden with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life.
Yeah.
Right? When we come, I think sometimes, again, I want to be careful, there are things that we can see that are truths that everybody would agree on, and we have to stand firm on those.
Yeah.
Like that Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also God. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when we come to a point, anything that we agree on, and we choose to say, I am the only person with the correct viewpoint, or this side is the only correct viewpoint, they have zero truth within them, I would argue it's like taking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are choosing to take your own wisdom, your own knowledge, as better than actual truth, actual life. So that's not to say that you're 100% wrong. That's not to say that you can't have strong convictions on any secondary issue. But what I'm saying is, I think a better way to approach stuff like that is to carefully consider both sides and to say, well, where might I be wrong in this?
Yeah.
Right? Where, and you might come to the conclusion that no, with all facts considered, this is where I still stand.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But walking with people in that and choosing to love them regardlessly and respect them too, right? So like you gave the example of vaccination. Had you chosen to say, I would prefer not to have unvaccinated people in my home, would I have agreed with that? Personally, no, I would not have agreed with that. Would I have respected it though? Yeah, I'm not going to come barge into your home if that's what you've asked, right? So like I said, there's outcomes that are different.
I think we joked every single time you came over.
Yeah.
You dirty Philistine.
Right? But I would have chosen to respect you in that.
Sure.
So it's that picture of, again, it's almost an agree to disagree where it's like, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
To the best of my ability, I understand what you're saying. I personally don't see how you can land on the conclusion from that though.
Sure.
But okay.
Yep.
Because it's not a primary issue.
And see, I think that's dealing with pride. It's humbling yourself going, okay, but the pride in me would like rise up and just be like, no, but you're wrong and I have to be right. And it's a way to just go, you know what? We disagree and we might like very seriously disagree. And I'm just going to humble myself and go, it's not worth losing a relationship over this kind of disagreement.
I think too, it just came to my mind. I think too, some of the language that we use now around disagreements are interesting in that like, it's just language, but yet it communicates an idea that someone is your enemy. So like a lot of the language that's used around a disagreement is it was an attack against this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was an attack against that.
It was a microaggression.
Right? and now what if it wasn't though?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I don't know. I don't view an opposing viewpoint to my own as an attack.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Okay, so this is good. Let's get into, okay, then how do we, in our experience, and again, we don't do this well. I do not do this well all the time. There's lots of times when I've said and done things that are really dumb in a disagreement.
As with
but
everyone.
Trying to learn. So a few things came to mind. How do you actually do this well? How do you disagree? How do you learn the art of disagreeing? The first thing I thought of was, number one, shut up and listen.
Yeah.
So a few things like Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And then James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. So I've tried really, really, really hard to just learn to, when someone comes with me with a disagreement, I just want to listen to them.
Yep.
Because oftentimes, and you might resonate with this, when someone comes to me with a disagreement, I'm just waiting for them to stop so that I can jump in and be like, well, have you thought about this? And you're wrong. And da, da, da. Yep. So I've tried really hard anytime, and it's happened a few times, even in the last week.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to come talk to you. Okay. And that's always a scary text, right?
Yep. Yep. We need to talk.
You're like, what is this about? But as they've sat down, I just let them talk. Yep. I just kind of, I've tried to learn how to, I'm going to shut my mouth and I'm just going to listen and hear what they have to say. And then when they ask me, what do you think about that? Okay. I'm not going to jump in and try and cut them off. And I'll tell you, like, if we could all learn how to do that, it works wonders.
Yeah, both parties and something
parties.
Like that. Yeah.
I think about my marriage when I've learned to just shut my mouth and I just want to listen to what you have to say. I mean, it's scripture, so I think God, it makes sense.
Yep.
Like James says.
There's a reason,
like,
it's there.
Don't like be slow to speak. Don't be someone who is quick to speak. And I go, man, that's so me. I'm so often.
Yeah.
So that would be my first point. When someone comes to you with a disagreement, it's like all of a sudden we get our defenses up before they even say what they disagree about. I've had that when someone's like, can I come talk to you? I just have an issue I want to bring to you. It's like already I'm okay. I got to get
your gloves on,
defense mode. And I'm like, why do I do that? So just to let someone speak and learn to actually listen, not listen so that now I have ammo for when it's my turn to speak.
Yep.
Let me actually listen to you. And what are you actually trying to say? So that would be one thing I thought of right out of the
Absolutely.
Gate.
Absolutely. I think we were talking with the children's director here, which if you don't know, it's my mom. And just in one of the conversations we were having earlier today, even we were talking and encouraging each other to listen because this is something that we need to be reminded of. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes subconsciously we think listening and letting someone present their ideas allows us to like agree with them, so to speak. Like if we were to let them finishing presenting it, well, we'd agree with them because we let them say it. We might not actually verbalize that, but I think that we sometimes feel like as soon as we hear something that we don't see as truth, we have to interject with truth because we have to fight for truth. But what if instead of that, we took the time to listen so that then when we presented our idea, we showed them love and respect in that? And then what if we could invite them to consider our viewpoint and then have a discussion around that, right?
Yeah.
Instead of being militant and saying like, we have to fight for truth, we have to do this. Well, what if fighting for truth is just exposing truth and saying, hey, this is my viewpoint.
Yeah.
Right? And what if something they say, if you give them the time, really challenges you?
Yeah.
But because you didn't wait to hear their viewpoints and why, like ask questions. Why do you believe this? Mm-hmm. Not in like a, you're so dumb. Why do you believe this? But like genuinely try and figure out where they're coming from when you're listening, right? Because the more you understand their paradigm on this thing and why they would view it this way, the more you can maybe resonate or even understand how to show them a different point of view in a way that might make sense to them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and what we're saying too, just I was thinking as you were talking, this is not a case of like, you know, your truth versus my truth.
Yes.
Right? Because that isn't, and maybe that's why Christians are afraid to just allow someone to have a different interpretation of something because we go, are we just falling into the trap that like, no, truth is truth, which I would agree with.
Yep.
But there's a difference between truth and opinion, I guess, right? And that's what we're getting at. We're not saying that it's like, okay, well, that's your truth and this is my truth.
On a really lighthearted way, do you think it's similar to if someone likes pineapple on pizza and someone doesn't like it? The fact is, there's pineapple on pizza. The truth is some people like it, some people don't.
Sure.
Are they wrong for that? Well, you might think they are, but they're not because factually it's there. It exists, right?
Yeah. So I think learning to just actually be better listeners and not just listening to have my next argument. I'm waiting for you to stop talking so I can jump in.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I've learned this too, is that there's always two sides to every story. Always. doesn't matter. Like, and I guess that goes far. That's maybe when it comes to like arguments over things that happened, maybe not theology. But I've learned that anytime someone comes to me with something like, oh, my brother did this to me, I'm like, I want to go talk to your brother. Because there's always two sides to every single story. And part of not just disagreeing about something is, like we've said, being open to hearing, you know, okay, I have opinions about the convoy. I want to be open to hearing someone else's opinion about that. Yep. That's huge.
Yeah.
Not to say that you'll agree.
Yeah.
But I feel like anytime we do that, it's just like, well, that's fake news. And it could be.
Yeah.
But just going, you know what? I want to hear from someone who was in the convoy. I want to hear from someone who lives downtown Ottawa and what their experience was like. I want to hear from one of the police officers.
Yeah.
I want to hear from blah, 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 blah. Yep. I want to hear all sides of the story. So that it helps shape my, oh, okay, I still have convictions.
Yeah.
But that's, man, I've never thought about that aspect.
When I was working in the shelter, I ran into this a lot, where guests would have a disagreement with either another guest or something that happened in the shelter. And they would come and they would want justice from just their point of view.
Yeah.
Which is fair. All humans do that. I'm not just calling them out. And I remember using the example of like, I would rather go and talk to them before I make a decision so that I see both sides of the coin. But if you'll notice, if you ever look at a coin, there is a flat spot in the middle. It's small, but there is a third side, so to speak, where both sides meet, right? Yeah. So there's truth on both sides, so to speak. Again, this isn't saying like your truth, my truth.
No.
But when you look at both sides, you have to have both sides of that coin to be able to even have that center part so that you could land on there.
Yeah.
Right? Is it hard to? Do you mess that up sometimes? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? But I think that that's, like you said, considering what the other person has to say is not necessarily saying that you are agreeing with them, but it is something that can maybe help us change our paradigms from the biases that we come into conversations with.
Sure.
Right. No matter how unbiased we say we are, we always come in with bias.
Everyone is biased.
Totally. Always. Right. A really, really good example, and I really, really appreciate him for this actually, is a disagreement that I remember having where I was like, I walked away and this was like, it's like imprinted in my mind with how it went, because it was one of the first of its type in my life. And this was only a couple of years ago, was actually when we met with Cameron at Mighty Peace for just a conversation. And we ended up talking about how the MB conference has allowed, I should like be really careful.
Native practices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different indigenous practices within their building to try and build a sense of community and stuff. And I went into the conversation very like, to be honest, I went in very militant, like, no, this should never be happening.
Sure.
And I stood very, very strongly.
Yeah.
And Cameron was very, very patient, answered all of my questions, continued to present my view or his viewpoint. And I would say that I still walked away not fully agreeing with him.
Yeah.
But I remember walking away like, wow.
It's possible to.
Like, I can see where he's coming from with this. Yeah. I might not agree with it, but I remember I was like blown away that I was like, we talked for however many hours on these topics and passionately from both sides, right? Yeah.
And didn't throw a beer in anyone's face.
Like nobody flipped out, right? And both of us have continued to have conversations afterwards, right?
Totally.
Opposing views, maybe still. I don't know exactly where I'd land on it, but it caused me to consider it, right? And I think that that's a really healthy thing.
Yeah.
So I know like it is a possible thing to do, even if it's something that when we, on our first response, we would be very militant.
Yeah. And I don't think, I want to be clear, like it's not a, because I'm dealing with this a bit in my family right now, even on strong opinions about stuff. And it's not as in a sweep it under the rug and let's just let it be awkward forever. That's not what we mean.
Yeah.
Like rather than
absolutely
deal with conflict, that's no, deal with conflict, but it's a maturity to get to the end of your disagreement to go, I'm not going to make it awkward with you. I just disagree with you.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm not going to allow that to have bitter feelings,
yep,
resentment. And it's not like, yeah, you can come over. And every time Corlin comes over, I'm just in my mind, like making it awkward because, oh, I can't believe he's not vaccinated. No, it's just like, for the sake of relationship and unity, I'm not even going to let this be an issue.
Yeah.
So it's different than, I don't want people to hear like, oh, we're just sweeping all our things under the rug. No, that's different. That's not dealing with
it. And certain disagreements will come to a point where you have to make a course of action decision that can result in different outcomes, right? That's sweeping stuff under the rug is never good.
No.
And you can disagree with a course of action as well, right? But why not have the discourse around it before that happens so that when you come to that conclusion, you can at least see the other person's side. And even if you maybe don't, like I said, it can result in different looking things. But with disagreements, the goal should always be to love your neighbor as yourself, to love your brother and sisters in Christ. So if you're changing churches because you disagree, okay. But also, like you said, recognize, are they going to be in heaven with us?
Yeah.
Right? Does that change your heart on, like, are you leaving out of a despise? And this is something that I can resonate with because I have left the church because of not agreeing with the way they navigated certain things, the decisions they came to. But even for myself, looking back on that, I mean, I was quite young and not necessarily invited to the conversations, but I had one source of input for my decision on that. So looking back, part of me does wish that I had seen both sides. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have affected my decision to change churches. But it is something that I think, like you said, listening. It's that looking for both sides so that we can love each other well, regardless of our viewpoints on whether pineapple should be on pizza.
Yes. And the other thought, and maybe we should wrap it up here, was in Romans 14, and this is just about disagreeing.
Yes.
And, you know, as for the one who's weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. I love that. Because Paul, and I guess Paul, what we're not... I'm not saying that anyone who disagrees with you is weaker in the faith. We're all weaker in the faith in different areas.
Yep.
So Paul's using the example of people who want to obey the Sabbath, people who don't want to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And for him, he goes, okay, if that's your opinion, don't quarrel over opinions. I love that. I mean, we should just have that
don't quarrel on over the wall. Opinions.
Don't quarrel over opinions. Because he says one person believes this, the other person does this. And then basically he says, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's like, if we could just have that mindset, who am I to pass judgment on you because you think differently than me? Right. And then he goes into, you know, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And then, none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. I'm skipping over some verses. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? You're all going to stand before God, and you're all going to give an account. And then he basically says, I'm trying to skip down here. And let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. So the idea of, like, don't allow your opinion on things to cause quarrels and to bring...
Paul is talking about secondary issues.
Yes, totally.
Too.
Yep. Yep. So, like, to talk about it, but he says, like, just you should be convinced in your mind, and who are you to pass judgment on someone else? I'm like, and if we all went into disagreements with that mindset, like...
And I think, too, we forget that the Holy Spirit's the one that does the convicting.
Totally.
It's not us, right? Yep. So even if someone is wrong... If we have a discussion around it, it's not you that changed their mind if they changed their mind.
No.
If they have further aligned with Scripture and God's will, that's the Holy Spirit that does that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally.
And so when we have our discussions, we can't rely on our own understanding. We have to trust that God is going to convict the person that needs convicting in that scenario.
Yep.
Right?
That's good. I mean, we could just keep talking for hours.
I agree.
I agree. I disagree. But anyways, I guess for me, the heart behind the topic idea was, I mean, like, as a pastor, and you too, people are going to be like, I disagree. He's not a real pastor. He's a pastor in training, but whatever. you get a front row seat to a lot of conflict, I would say.
Yeah.
And I jokingly told someone, I feel like 40% of my job is just putting out fires. But it just kind of, I don't know, it's been something that just has been rolling around in my mind for probably a few weeks. Like, man, if we could just learn how to disagree well, I'm not saying that then all our problems would go away, but a lot of the unnecessary like hurt and bitterness and resentment.
Animosity between each other.
It would just disappear if we just went, I just need to learn how to disagree well with someone. And so that was the heart behind it, going like, I'm just seeing this more and more. It's like whatever you say, someone emailed me that. It feels like whatever you say, someone is mad about it. And I'm like, yep, that seems like that's the world we live in.
Yep.
So how, as followers of Jesus, can we say like, I still want to hold tight to my convictions
and stand firm on truth.
But then also, you know, have an open hand for secondary things to just kind of go, I might be wrong.
I think a lot of it is practice over and I over so. Reminding yourself, even in the middle of those conversations, right? Like what we were talking about, we bring forward the idea of like, listen, ask questions, do this, do that.
Yeah.
We say that because Andrew and I are doing that every single conversation. Even in conversations you and I have, I have to remind myself, like, listen, don't just jump in. Like, because that's a natural tendency, right? So it's with practice that I think this gets easier. And conflict is not fun.
No, of course not. No one likes it. And if you do, you're a lunatic.
It's a little bit weird.
So anyways, hopefully this is helpful to you. Maybe you've seen some of the same stuff we're seeing. Or maybe this is just starting some dialogue. And if you want to reach out and talk more to us about stuff like that, that's awesome. Or maybe if you have some pushback, you know, we're talking about disagreeing. Maybe if you disagree, please reach out. We would love to actually hear, like, do we have blind spots? Are we not seeing this correctly? But all in all, I think our desire, I can speak for both of us, is that it helps us as followers of Jesus. Okay, how do we actually like do this well? Yeah. And then, focus on the main thing, right? Which is Christ crucified, us telling people about him. And let this kind of stuff not be a distraction, I guess. So, anyways, there we go. I think that was like an hour and a half almost.
Good.
And if you have questions or comments, you can reach out to us. And we'll record another one of these shortly. Bye.